Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your pension is with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie and find out more.
Now, as you heard there in the headlines, the government is very concerned about the prospect of asylum seekers sleeping in tents and the associated health and safety risks, the Tánaiste has said. Earlier, the Department of Integration said it can no longer provide accommodation to all international protection applicants due to a severe shortage. For more on this, CEO of the Irish Refugee Council, Nick Henderson, and Chief Executive of the Children's Rights Alliance, Tanya Ward, both join us on the line. No government representative was available to speak to us on this topic this evening. Nick, I might come to yourself first, and your response to that news that the Department of Integration can no longer provide accommodation to all international protection applicants.
We are very concerned, Sarah. In April of this year, the High Court declared that the state's failure to provide accommodation to people seeking asylum was unlawful. It's a very clear judgment. The situation since the spring has only worsened, and we're very concerned that the combination of the riots in Dublin, cold weather, stretched homeless services is a perfect storm, and that people would be at risk of harm if they did have to sleep rough. So we're very concerned by this situation, and we're imploring all of government to step in and try and prevent this imminent, if not already with us, crisis.
And that harm that you are referring to, I don't know, is there a greater risk, do you think, from the dangers of sleeping on the streets or from the weather conditions, or is it hard to tell?
It would be that it's never safe for anybody to sleep rough. But if you think of the layers that are now presented to somebody, we had the burning of tents in Sandworth Street in May. We had the riots of two Thursdays ago, which clearly had unfortunately, an anti-immigrant edge to them. And then we've had freezing weather over the weekend. And as the weather report just now said, it's going to be extremely cold tonight. So that combination of those factors and that mainstream homeless services in Dublin are so stretched, doing amazing work, but are so stretched currently, that presents a pretty appalling vista for people who are arriving here seeking protection on our shores.
I know you're saying there, Nick, that you want all of government to get together to see what can be done. But Micheál Martin, speaking to reporters today, you know, he went through the numbers. 100,000 Ukrainians have come to Ireland, he said, since the outbreak of the war there. States providing accommodation for 70,000 of those. And then he said there's also another 26,000 international protection applicants seeking asylum. And obviously, that he said that reflects the instability across the world, but that it isn't as simple as providing housing overnight.
But that's not what we're calling for. We recognise the government have done huge things over the last 18 months, and in particular, one department ultimately has provided or sourced all that accommodation. But given what I've just said, we do think it's possible that the state, a wealthy country like Ireland, can generate and create the shelter capacity that would be required to accommodate people and prevent them sleeping rough. We've got a short report briefing paper going to government overnight that suggests that all government departments should be required to check for spare capacity in buildings, looking at the capacity of local authorities and rest centres for refugees from Ukraine. We believe there's capacity there. Whether the Office of Public Works have unused residential buildings, and even the Defence Forces, whether they have land and capacity, physical capacity that could be used to support people. So there are, we recognise what's been done by government. We acknowledge that repeatedly, but given what's the context of recent weeks, we do think people are at significant risk if they had to sleep rough, and we implore all of government to act immediately.
I want to bring in Tanya Ward in just a minute, but just in terms of what you're saying there, Nick, and about the spare capacity, I mean, we've been hearing about that really for the last 2 years, really, since the outbreak of the war in Ukraine. And we've been told, government departments have been told to go look for spare capacity. Do you think that hasn't been done, or that it has been done, but that there remains more capacity available?
I think it's probably we know that the Department of Children has written to other government departments. I think that was in the spring of this year to ask for capacity, and I think didn't get any response or got one response. Whether that call is being made again, it probably has, but it should be made again today in the cabinet room and elsewhere to ask if there is additional capacity. We're not talking necessarily about huge numbers of people either, and we do think there's capacity within some parts of the international protection accommodation system. We know of that, and we recognise that standards in such accommodation may not, well, are far, far from perfect, but in the context of risk on the streets, we are saying that all of government, including the Department of Housing, should be reflecting and acting and trying to source accommodation, shelter, ultimately, for people to prevent rough sleeping in really serious circumstances.
Okay, I might come back to that point about the Department of Housing in a moment. Stay with us, Nick, if you don't mind. Tanya Ward, I might bring you in here. And your reaction, Tanya, to this announcement from government?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking about the teenagers and young men who are impacted by this. You know, sometimes there's not a big difference between a 16-year-old, a 17-year-old and an 18-year-old. And we know that young men are very vulnerable to violence, to be honest. And in the context of the recent riots and the violence on the streets, it does worry me greatly that people could be exposed on the streets. But the other things that could happen is, you know, there are criminal gangs that operate on the streets. They could be exposed to criminal exploitation and sexual exploitation as well. Some of them could be pulled into prostitution. So I have to say, that does worry me greatly.
I know that Roderick O'Gorman secured €4.7 million for a new child payment today for children in direct provision, but that hasn't been implemented. This is sort of separate to the issue of immediate accommodation for migrants. Why hasn't that payment been implemented?
Yeah, I mean, I have to say it's extremely frustrating because, you know, the overall arching policy of the government is to address child poverty, and they've established a unit in the department, the Taoiseach, to end child poverty. They've had several budgets where they've set out to address child poverty. And children in the direct provision system have been left behind each and every year since 2018. Families are only getting 29.10 a week at the moment. And what they're telling us is it's barely enough to deal with the basic essentials. So that doesn't go very far if you're trying to buy a bottle of Calpol or a school bag happens to break, or there's a local hurling club or local swimming club. You know, they just don't have the fiver to give a child a chance to take part in those kinds of activities. And one of the solutions to this was that in the white paper was that the government would introduce a new child payment that would be a bit like child benefit, because children in direct provision don't get child benefit either. And it seems the funds are there, but the measure hasn't been implemented. And I have to say, it's just deeply disappointing when the overall policy of the government is to address child poverty. And, you know, we just had a conference today. Each and every stakeholder said the one thing that would make an enormous difference to children would be this payment. There's been some suggestion it could act as a pull factor. But to be quite frank, it would take a lot more than an extra €35 a week to want to come to Ireland. The research shows that's not why people seek protection in Ireland. But it would make a difference to everyday families and to children and young people who are living, to be honest, half a childhood at this moment in time.
So do you think that is why it hasn't been implemented, that concern over a pull factor?
Well, I worry that that's in the background. I think the system is a bit paralysed at the moment because of the accommodation challenges. There have been some good things that have happened, implementing the white paper. They've put €500,000 into child and youth service committees. They've introduced 17 different family support workers to support families. But the basic thing that that families need right now, they need all those kind of supports, but they're saying they can't deal with everyday life. And life is pretty grim when you don't have those basic essentials. I mean, children already have to deal with the fact that they're different. They're not living in houses like all their friends. Often they pretend they won't tell their other friends that they're living in direct provision. It's very similar to children in homeless accommodation. But it's not only that, they're not actually taking part in the very basic things that other children are taking part in everyday life. And that can't continue. It's not right. They only make up about a quarter of people seeking protection in the country at the moment. Actually, the numbers of children overall seeking protection have fallen if you look at the broader population. This has to be the measure this government implements.
I want to come back to yourself, Nick, on your call for all departments to be involved in this broader issue. And you're talking about the Department of Housing particularly, and I'm sure, as you know well, there was reportedly a big row at Cabinet between the Department of Housing and the Department of Integration over responsibility for Ukrainians in particular, but migrants who are here longer term with those opposed to that in the Department of Housing, and I think Micheál Martin as well, arguing that it wasn't for the Department of Housing to look after those issues.
Yeah, well, if we go back to the spring, an example of this was when there was homelessness then amongst protection applicants, there was 1,400 people. The Department of Housing and local authorities and DHRE did not get involved, as far as we know whatsoever. They just didn't play a part in the response. And then at the other end of the system, there's now probably over 6,000 people who have refugee status who should in theory be able to move on with their lives and step out of direct provision, but cannot do so because of the housing crisis that we have. And our call, when we say things like all of government, is that the Department of Housing, recognizing that it's managing a crisis itself, but it should be playing a part at both ends, ideally, but at least to play a part in either the homelessness that is now in front of us right here, right now, or at the other end of the system to support people in a more meaningful way to try and help people to get out of direct provision and on with their lives, because that would then free up some capacity for the Department of Children to accommodate people, 6,000 people in a total population of 25,000 people.
But as you say, when you say the Department of Housing is facing its own crisis, like that is almost an understatement, isn't it? You know, it's been the topic that has dominated social discussion for most of the last 10 years, and it is getting worse. We see an awful lot of homeless people, record numbers of homeless people in the last figures, record numbers of homeless children. So what can the department realistically do? It's struggling to even achieve its own targets.
Well, even in the way that it tries to support people to transition out, or it doesn't try to support people to transition out, two NGOs are contracted to supply that support. But it's not enough people, not enough support. I think there's only around 35 caseworkers across the whole country to support 6,000 people. So there are. We also believe it's possible to help both populations at the same time. And so there are things that the department can do to play a part, either with people who are homeless at the beginning of the process or people who are stuck in direct provision. I suppose the consequence of not doing this is now in front of us. And the department have known this for more than 18 months. It's been on the cards. It's been projected in all the figures. We've seen it in Ukraine and international protection applicants. So it's been projected right up to the cabinet table. But unfortunately, now we are paying the price of inaction.
Well, I know, again, government would say there hasn't been an action, but I do take your point and you're entitled to that view. And thank
inaction
you very
much. Inaction around transition, yeah.
I understand. Okay, thank you very much for joining us on the programme this evening. That's Nick Henderson, CEO of the Irish Refugee Council, and Tanya Ward, Chief Executive of the Children's Rights Alliance.